As you're finding your seat, if you will turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, this morning we are in verses 37 to 43. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. All came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, who broke loose and started your church a couple thousand years ago, would you continue to break loose in this place this morning? As we, your church, desire to be more and more of who you desire for us to be. And so I do pray once again, Father God, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every heart here in this place might be so very pleasing to you, our rock and our Redeemer. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This summer, we've been walking through the big story of Scripture. We've been seeing how God's story intersects our own. And this morning, we're really well into the second half of the series. And we're moving today from Christ to the part of the story that is church. Before Christ ascended into heaven, he told his disciples to gather together in one place in Jerusalem and to wait together and see what God had planned. To see together how God's story would continue in their very midst. On that first Pentecost, we know that the Holy Spirit came down and the apostles began to preach the gospel in the language of every person gathered in that place, that 3,000 came to believe in Jesus, and right there in that very spot, for the first time, the church broke out. It turns out that church was part of God's plan from the very beginning. Wasn't something that we created or thought to be a good idea. This was part of God's story. There's way too much that Scripture has to say about church for any one sermon, basically the entire New Testament after the Gospels. So rather than flip through it all this morning, it seems perhaps a little bit more helpful to hear a couple of testimonies of church. One testimony of an ancient church in Jerusalem, and the other of a church today, halfway around our globe, that's breaking forth in the country of China. Since we are the church, both of these stories, from a long time ago and from far away, they become very close to home, and they inform our own. They are indeed our story. First, we have that church in Jerusalem. We see its very beginning in those verses at the end of Acts 2, when those very first converts repent and are baptized. Immediately following their conversion, it says, they devoted themselves to four things: to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayers. As they grew in their faith together, it also says farther down there in Acts 2 that the numbers of the lost being saved just kept growing. Spreading and spreading. What grabs me in the story of this first church is that one little simple word, devoted. They devoted themselves. This whole slew of people encountered the good news of Jesus Christ, and immediately, within the same breath it almost seems, they devoted themselves to this whole new community and to this whole new way of life together. Devoted. It's a powerful word. Especially these days when it seems hard to find folks truly devoted to much of anything apart from professional sports teams. Devoted. Devoted, it hints at full surrender at full commitment. It hints at this complete rearranging of priorities, at seeing the community of believers as actually worthy of one's full gifts and resources and presence. To be devoted to something is not to just pop in when it's most convenient, but it's to be fully in, and to be fully in for the long haul. And somehow in this early church, the devotion of the people to God and to each other attracted a people who didn't even know God at all. And their numbers, it says, increased day by day. We may be a people who say, well, good for the early church. It was much simpler times back then with much fewer demands on any one person's life and schedule. And I would have to agree and say, you know, that's fair enough. If I hadn't seen otherwise. In August of 2014, I had this great privilege of getting to spend some time in Beijing, China, with a friend from my seminary who happens to be a leader in the house church movement there in that country. She brought me along with her for the summer to meet her family, to join her in ministry, and more than anything, she wanted me to simply witness with her what God was doing in that place. I don't know how much you know about Chinese politics and history, but in 1949, Mao Zedong, the communist chairman, launched this brutal campaign in China to eliminate all religious belief from the country. His wife was speaking to Western visitors in 1958 when the government had effectively closed all visible churches there. And what she told these Western visitors was, Christianity in China has been confined to the history section of museums. It is effectively dead and buried. In the 1970s, the U.S. sent a delegation to go into China and check this out, see if the chairman's wife was correct. And they came back from that trip in the 70s and they said, as far as we can tell, it seems that she is right. There is not a single Christian left in China. And here I stand, 40 years later, and I say that Christianity, my friends, is booming in China today. It's incredible. Some even predict that the way the church is growing there, by 2030, China will be home to more Christians than any other country on earth. That's only six. Yeah, that's worth applauding. Praise God. If you do the math, that's only 60 years after the dismal news from this official Western delegation that said, it's said and it's done. Christianity is no more. My friends, our God is on the move. And from what I've seen and what I've heard, be it in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago or in China today, God's story of love and grace is going forth through the church that is fully devoted to Him. Devoted how, we ask? Acts 2:42 tells us several ways. Devoted, one, to the apostles' teaching, to hearing the word of God, and actually attempting to understand it. You see, this early church, it says, centered their entire lives around the word. They gathered week after week with every intention of hearing the scriptures taught and of leaving that place of gathering as a people completely changed by the words they had heard. Back then, the early church sermons went a whole lot longer than 20 to 30 minutes, I have to assume. Many of Paul's letters were actually meant to be read in front of the church as a sermon of sorts. If one Sunday morning I stood up here and just began to read Romans or 1 Corinthians to you, you would be here for a couple of hours. No thanks, most of us begin to say. I'm already hungry for lunch. Who has time for that? Acts 20 tells of a time when Paul even preaches way past midnight, and poor little Eutychus falls asleep, falls out the window, and he dies but is resurrected. You see, the early church, they stayed in Scripture as long as they needed to stay in Scripture to grasp whatever it was God wanted them to grasp. They weren't in a hurry. They had nowhere better to be than together in the Word of God. and with such devotion to the word, their numbers increased day by day. Good for the early church, we may say once again. They had more time to give to such things back then. And perhaps that's fair. But then again, in China that summer just a couple years ago, I saw believers hungry for the word of God like I have never seen in my life before. They come from all over the city of Beijing to worship any given Sunday. Many of them will take three forms of transportation and travel up to 2 hours to arrive at church. And once they get there, they have every intention of being there all day long. The morning service includes at least an hour of singing. It includes at least an hour of prayer and a sermon that easily goes an hour as well. And believe it or not, the people are on the edge of their seats the entire time. They are anxious to hear what it is God has to say to them. They are believing that the word they hear that day might actually lead them into action. It might actually change their lives completely, and they are ready for their lives to be changed. Following the morning service, the congregation will then break into small groups, and they will all together discuss the morning's message as a group. Every single member of that church is expected to report to the group on how God is speaking to them through the word that they have heard that day. There's no passes. Everyone speaks up. The people in China in these house churches, it seems they come to church expecting to hear, and they come to church ready to share. The church then will stop and eat lunch together. They'll all cook together and share a common meal, and then they will circle back around for an afternoon Bible study. And oftentimes there will even be training on some special topic that goes all the way into the evening. And if a whole day together isn't enough, most everyone in the congregation makes that 1 to 2 hour trip again one night during the week for an extra Bible study. You see, over and over they come to this word. And they don't come begrudgingly, and they don't come to the word out of a sense of duty, but they come with excitement, and they come with anticipation and with joy. They come as a people longing to encounter God, and they come as a people ready to be challenged and changed by what they hear. My friend who lives in China told me about how many house churches that meet in the villages outside of Beijing, how they don't have their very own Bible. And so what they will do to make up for this is they will take one Bible and they will cut it up into the 66 books that there are. And among these house churches, they will begin to pass these books around. And one church will have just one book for a couple months. And then when they finish, they'll find another church nearby, ask what book they have. If they haven't had it lately, they'll switch. One church in the village may be going through Isaiah. Another one may be going through Luke. Another one may be in the Psalms. But they only get one at a time. She told me about how Western Christians will often hear about these churches and what God's doing there. And they'll often tell these house church leaders how they're just a little bit envious of how powerfully God is moving in their midst. How they kind of wish that they could see God move just as powerfully here in our churches. And my friend told me that when these Chinese Christians hear that, they can hardly believe their ears. What? They'll say, "You mean to tell me that God is not moving powerfully in the church in the West?" They say, "But you guys have the Bible, all of it, in one piece. Any given day or week, you can open it up to any story you want, and you can find your living God in it." They say, "Don't you realize that's a miracle?" What we would give to see God like you get to see God, they would say. "You have the word. Wow." And as she told me of their response, my eyes immediately filled with tears, realizing how many Bibles many of us have that just kind of sit on the same shelf for weeks on end, untouched, how many Bible studies happen around this town with two or three people in them. People that think, I've been there, done that, I know the word. No, our God is big and this word is dense. Where's the hunger? Where's the longing? Where's the gift of this miracle being received with open hands and open hearts? You see, so many even come to church week after week without much hunger at all for the word. In fact, when we start digging into it during morning worship, it seems that that's when folks begin to check out more than any other time. And in it all, it seems that we're missing the miracle that's right here in our midst. We are a people who get the word, all of it, that we might see that as a gift once again. That is my prayer. Our brothers and our sisters in Jerusalem back then, and our brothers and sisters in China today, they simply couldn't get enough of God's word. They were fully devoted to hearing it, to being changed by it. That our Bible studies might be packed to overflowing. That we might be on the edge of our seats on Sunday mornings right around 10:45. That we might never rush out of these doors until we are sure we have heard from God and we are leaving different than we came in. Devotion to the word. It's the story of the church fully alive. And when that begins to happen, the lost come in droves. The church, called to be devoted to the word, also called to be devoted to fellowship. That is, to our life together. In Jerusalem, it says they were devoted specifically to fellowship and the breaking of bread. We've talked about this early church's life together many times before because I'm kind of passionate about church. So I'm not going to rehash it all over again, but just the highlights of this early church and how they did it. The verses that follow today's reading, it says that the members of the church, they held all things in common. They distributed their money, their possessions, their skills, even their time to the church, completely to be used by them as any had need. They spent their time together, it says, day by day. And they shared meals with their new brothers and sisters in Christ in their very own homes. It almost seems like the people of this early church simply couldn't get enough of each other. They knew that they needed one another to grow. Indeed, they needed one another to live. And they weren't about to let another one down by holding back or by being uncommitted to the group. And their devotion to the community of faith, the Lord added to their numbers day by day. And so it is also with our brothers and sisters in China. These house churches, when you walk into them, it only takes moments to realize that these folks truly love each other. And their love is shown very most in their genuine accountability one to the other. In these house churches, it's simply not okay for someone to come and sit in the same place for weeks or months or years and not be challenged to grow and not be challenged to serve. And in the same way, it's not okay for someone not to come for weeks and to never be called on. They simply don't have room for that. They need each other, and they need each other to be there. The people in the church need one another to be present and to be active, and they're willing to name their need for the other and to expect it from each and every one. And you know, Chinese people, it turns out, are really no less busy than Americans, and their families aren't less demanding. Quite similar. Most of these believers are young adults. Most of them are just starting off their careers. They are people who easily put in 40 hours a week at work, not to mention their long commutes back and forth. And then they give entire Sundays to being together, plus two nights a week at minimum. Many of them, it turns out, are constantly on the search for brand new jobs, because they refuse to neglect this precious time with their church family. And that all doesn't always jive well with the work demands that they have there. For these young employees just coming up the ladder, bosses want to see that they're fully in, fully committed. And they say, well, I am in besides Sundays and Tuesdays and Thursdays. doesn't work too well. You see, they realize that they are compromising their future to be together. It's not lost on them. But yet that's okay with them. Because it seems deep in their hearts, they believe that they might actually be compromising so much more if they neglected their fellowship together. Talk about an absolute shift in priorities. Devoted to the community of faith. I don't know how they make it work. I don't know how they stay energized. I was only there for a couple weeks. I don't know if they ever regret missing their favorite TV show. I don't know if they ever missed out on their favorite hobbies. I don't know if they've ever heard the stories about boundaries and self-care and the importance of me time. But what I do know is that these young people are growing in Christ. And what I do know is whenever I left every gathering for those 2 weeks, I was pretty sure I had just rubbed shoulders with the living, moving Spirit of God. It was real, and it was real through commitment and sacrifice and devotion. Just a few days ago, I stood beside one of our young people at junior high camp. It was a kid who's had a really rough road in his short life so far. As we were talking, he told me a bit of his story, and he told me about the one person in his life who has ever been kind to him, the one person. And I looked him in the eyes and I promised him that there were more people in this world who would love him and care for him and be kind to him. I promised him there were more people in this world who would look like Jesus to him. And I told him that I would be honored to be one of those people. But I also told him that he is part of a church that is full of people who will be that to him. And as I said it, I hoped and prayed that it was true. You see, church, our kids are hurting. And they are looking frantically for people to know them and love them and show them another way in their worlds that have been rocked by bad news one day after another. And church, our adults are hurting. They're looking for people to know them and love them and show them another way just the same. And for 2,000 years now, God has wanted to use his church to care for his hurting children, to be that for each other. We have got to be committed to one another. We've got to making our life together an absolute priority that takes precedence over a little extra sleep and over a weekend hobby and over a kid's sports game and whatever else keeps us from fully sharing life in this place. We've got to get over it, and we've got to be here because God wants to use his church to save his people and to care for them well. And it turns out we are his church. Everyone has got to be devoted to everyone. Or else it turns out we all miss out on what it is God wants to fully do in this place. You need me, and I need you. We need each other. If we learn anything from Jerusalem and from Beijing, we learn that our God is on the move. And he chooses to be on the move, continuing his story of love through his church. And he moves most freely among his people as they freely share their lives with one another. Finally then, it says the church in Jerusalem was devoted to prayer, and through prayer they were devoted to mission. In Acts 4, Peter and John, they get into some trouble for preaching about this Jesus guy everywhere they were going. The authorities arrest them, and after a few days realize they don't have any real good reason to keep them in custody, and so they release them, but with this strong warning to stop talking about Jesus. Peter and John immediately go back to their church, and they tell the people what all has happened. And it says there in Acts 4 that the people of the church join their voices together in prayer. And what did they pray for on behalf of their brothers? But this, they said, "And now, Lord, look at their threats and grant your servants to speak your word with boldness." How tempting it must have been for this early church to ask for a little protection, a little invisibility, a little invincibility. How tempting it must have been to ask in prayer for the pressure to go away, for the authorities to simply leave them alone. But filled with the Holy Spirit, their deepest desire as a church together was for God to keep on revealing His love through them, no matter what it might cost. You see, the church at Jerusalem was more concerned about their witness than their well-being. They cared more about mission than protection. They cared more about their calling than their comfort. And in response to a Spirit-filled prayer, God showed up and made them strong and courageous and bold, just like they asked. God was on the move, and His story continued through His church. It is still illegal for unregistered churches in China to gather. But in Beijing, the problem is there are so many churches meeting in homes and around the city that the government really has no idea what to do with them. They know they don't have the physical manpower to shut every church down, and yet they're anxious because they realize they still need to appear to be in control. And so ever so often, the police will find a larger worship gathering, and they will still come into that home. They will disrupt worship, arrest everyone there, break up the fellowship. Some of the pastors of these churches that have been broken into are under house arrest decades later. And talking to my friend about the church in China, she said when she and her church gets together, what they pray for is that the pressure on the churches there will never go away completely. She said that it keeps believers honest about why they're coming to worship. If you think any given Sunday, I could be arrested, you're going to come for good reason. It attracts seekers, she says, who long to know why these people are so doggone determined to meet with their God. Why do they care so much? In the midst of such pressure, these churches' hearts beat for mission. They meet every single week for hours for prayer, and it's prayer solely on behalf of the lost. I sat in one of these prayer meetings for 2 hours. They named the lost and their families and their home buildings and their workplace and their larger country around the world, prayers for the lost. And from their prayers, they find that the lost are literally coming to their doors. On Sunday mornings, it never fails, they will hear a knock at the door. They will open it to somebody who's a little bit shy, a little timid, and they will whisper, "Is this the place that I can come to hear about Jesus?" You see, the lost in China, they're encountering the living God in droves. And it's because the church is devoted to prayer and to mission on their behalf. The story continues to be told. Their story continues to grow. My friends, God's story is indeed still being written, and we're up in this chapter. When the story tells of our church, will it tell of a people who came to a point where they completely threw away that wishy-washy, "I'll be there when it's convenient. I'll share my life with whoever I pick and choose to share my life with. I'll do God's work when it's fun and exciting." And instead, will it tell a story of a people who picked up together that mantle of absolute devotion, of devotion to God's word, a people immersing ourselves in it together until we are transformed by it? Will it tell a story of a people sharing their devotion to this community, immersed in our life together until every name and every story in this room is known by everyone? Until every kid and every adult can see our faces and say with all their heart, "I know many people who have been Jesus to me. They fill every single pew of my church. Will it tell a story of a people absolutely devoted to prayer and to mission? A people who long for nothing more than for God's dreams to become our dreams, God's heart to become our own. Will it tell a story of a people who kept at it until the biggest gathering of the month became this Beards Cove group that was meeting together to figure out how the heck to be light right here and right now? We need everyone. This is where rubber meets the road. This is mission. Will the story begin to continue to be told until we are a people who have more volunteers signing up for VBS than we even know what to do with? Until we're a people who have adults begging us to sign them up for camp next year, knowing that it'll take a full week of vacation and you probably only get two. That's a big sacrifice, I know. But a people realizing our God's on the move and he's reaching the lost. And we've got a lot of lost kids going to camp every year. And so it's worth it. God is on the move. And he is writing his story in our midst. And if we learn anything from Scripture and from our friends across the globe, we learn that he moves most freely among a church fully devoted. With all my heart, I pray more and more every day that we might be that church. Fully devoted to our God, my friends, I also am choosing again today to be fully devoted to each and every one of you. And I ask, would you also, being fully devoted to God, be fully devoted to me and to us as well? If so, this story is about to get really good. Better than we can even begin to imagine. If so, may it be so. Would you pray with me? Father God, that church is a part of your story, and that we are a part of your church, we give you thanks. Just as you intended for creation to happen out of your love, just as you chose to give covenants to your people out of your love, just as you sent Christ to save us out of your love, so you have given us church and called us into it out of your love for us, and out of this crazy desire you have for us to be your love to one another and to our world. For the ways that we've taken this call lightly, forgive us. For the ways that we've gathered with the same people week in and week out and never asked their names, forgive us. For the way that we've seen young people growing up in this place and haven't heard their story yet, forgive us. And for the future that you have for us, as we commit to being devoted to you, we say thank you. By your grace and by your mercy, would you give us the courage to be who you've called us to be? Would you give us the longing to settle for nothing less? May we leave this place moments from now with a renewed devotion to your word, to this community, to prayer, and to our world. And may your spirit stick close to us as we grow in all of these. And so that your church may be fully alive until this whole world knows of your Son. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.